Hello, hello, and welcome into the Texan Overtime Podcast. We are winding down here in the semester, but we are still somehow doing this thing. We haven't been shut off yet by the Texan higher-ups. Hello, Twitter. Hello, Periscope. Everyone out there watching on the Twitter sphere. My name is Trent Dastrin. I'm the sports editor of the Daily Texan. And your host, as always, joined by Tyler Horka, associate managing editor. Drew King, women's basketball writer. Alex Briseño is not able to make it today. He and our other football writer, Keshav Prathavadi, are in Arlington for the NFL draft, which starts tonight and runs through Saturday. So they will be following along, see which kind of which Longhorns will go and where they go. But today we are joined by a special guest, Robert Larkin, softball writer who you have seen already on this podcast earlier in the semester, and Travis Evlinka, who also has been on the podcast earlier this semester. He's our baseball writer, so obviously we're going to be talking a little bit of baseball and softball today. But first, we'll get into a little icebreaker. Guys, big sports night, NFL draft on, hockey's on, NBA is on, the playoffs for hockey and basketball. So what will y'all be watching tonight?
NFL drafts. It's my favorite event of the year.
Wow.
Wow, that's a hot take.
Yeah, favorite event of the year.
Always has been.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a hot take. I'll go in the opposite direction. The draft is actually the most overrated sporting event in the entire
Agreed.
So I'll be watching a mix of hockey and probably a little bit of NBA playoffs, too, to mix in.
Right on,
Let
Robert.
Let me explain. The NFL draft is the most important day of the year.
What?
Bar none.
God, you guys are crazy.
Bar none.
Fantastic.
It's NFL draft.
It is unwatchable television, though.
What you talking about? There's so much suspense. I get more suspense from this than Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, my God.
That's scorching.
Who's going number one? Nobody knows.
And I don't care.
Okay, but we're going to have to wait 10 minutes to find out.
Literally, the most important sport in the United States could be changed. The whole landscape could be changed tonight.
With big marquee quarterbacks that will go in the first 5 to 10 picks, too. So that makes it even more compelling.
I'm watching hockey for the record. Heck yeah.
Respect. Why?
Because it's awesome. Okay. Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin.
What round are we in?
It's awesome. Second round. It's playoff hockey.
Second round. Okay.
Is it safe to say that the NFL draft will pull a higher overnight rating than Caps Pens?
1,000%.
I think it will.
Easily.
I think Ty's just
because people don't know what they're missing, man. They don't know what they're
missing.
People
would rather watch a non-sporting event about a sport than watch an actual sporting event.
Wow.
It's not, I mean.
Yuck.
Not
wrong. I love hockey. I'll probably have both on, though, because I care a little bit more about the NFL draft than some people do over here. But at least these guys do.
Yeah. So Roger Goodell is supposed to come out first thing in the NFL draft. He will be escorted by Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, Jason Witten, in an attempt not to get booed tonight.
I think he's still going to get booed.
Will he?
Yeah, you could put
because it's like, not just Dallas fans there.
Yeah, you have a whole multitude. Yeah, team.
He's gonna get booed.
You could put Mother Teresa out there. She's gonna get booed.
Okay, but people are also going to cheer though. Like, there's gonna be people who see Troy Aikman and just explode with joy.
Sure, there'll be a
depends
think,
on right. how they announce him. Yeah.
So which is gonna be louder then?
But it'll be outweighed.
He's gonna come out with them on his wings, of course, and then he'll take center stage, and that's when I think the pouring out will go. Oof. So.
Well, moving right along, y'all be sure to tune into the NFL draft tonight and, of course, follow Alex and Keshav, our writers, on Twitter all weekend. But let's talk a little bit of Texas baseball. The Longhorns have won a lot of games lately. They're now 29-15 on the season, 11-4 in conference play. Seem to be clicking at the right time. They've picked up some big series victories as of late, including the one in Norman a few weeks ago over Oklahoma. Travis, let's just get your kind of impressions of how this season has been shaping out, because you know last time we had you on was right before the LSU series. Things have been in a much more positive direction since then for Texas.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Norman series. That was really what changed kind of the whole identity of this Texas team. That's when they took on the persona of possibly being able to win the Big 12. I mean, I think they're ranked number 19 right now, and they weren't looking like that after that short period of time. So since kind of the rough patch where they had to go through such a tough non-conference schedule, you know, they played Arkansas, LSU, Stanford, Lafayette, a whole bunch of really, really strong teams. I think it made them better, and I think they're really benefiting off of that now because they're playing these tough teams in the Big 12, and they're really, really looking good. And I've just been super impressed by what this team has done lately.
Their middle infield of Cody Clemens and David Hamilton has been really potent, especially Clemens, who's been raking all year. He's been outdoing his brother Casey from last season. He has been fantastic. Just kind of talk about the impact that Cody Clemens had. He's got to be Texas's best player right now.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Cody, he might be the best player in the conference, one of the best in the nation. I mean, he's a midseason All-American. He's batting over 350. He leads a team in walks, home runs, RBI, every really category that matters. And the most improved part about his game is probably the defensive side of the ball. Or not side of the ball, it's baseball, but really. Sorry, getting too involved here. But the way he's been playing second base lately. But the way he's been playing defense lately, he's been absolutely on fire. You watch the games, Jeter hops and backhands and all different types of plays that you wouldn't have thought he'd have made early on the year. He's starting to do those things. And it's just been really, really impressive to see him grow as a player. I mean, grow as a defensive player, then grow as a hitter. I mean, he can do stuff on the team that nobody else can do. I mean, his just consistency, and every single day he goes out there and, you know, he's putting up two hits, he's getting a double, he's bringing in runs. I mean, he has just been a phenomenal piece of this team this season, and easily their best player.
So much of, I feel like, the narrative going into this season about this team was, oh, they've lost all these players, you know, they're all going to the draft. Texas, you know, they're looking like they're going to be in a rough shape, you know, for this David Pierce's second season. But here they are, they're 29-15. They've outdid a lot of kind of the preseason expectations. They're one game back off of the Big 12 leader, Oklahoma State, right now, and they've got two big series to close out the year against Texas Tech and TCU, who are preseason favorites. Do you think, you know, people are surprised at all at the success that this Texas team has been able to put together this season?
You know, I think they definitely have been. I mean, you're looking at a team that came into the season that had no offensive identity at all. Their pitching was supposed to be the strong suit of this team, and that's been the struggling part. But the defense and the offense have kept up so well, the pitching hasn't really looked as bad as it should have. I mean, this team can just flat out rake, and I don't think anybody expect that coming to the season. You know, you had Clemens, who was hurt all of last year, Hamilton, who had struggled with the bat, Zubia, who was redshirted last year after transferring over from Tulane. I mean, he's probably maybe the newcomer of the year in the conference. He's a guy that has so much pop on his bat. He can hit the ball home run to all fields. I mean, he's just really, really done well, especially as of late. His eyes have started to get much better. He's taken walks, and he's second on the team in those. I mean, he has just become such a good player. And you're just looking, it feels like a lot of guys have been that narrative this season. I mean, two transfers, Mason Hibler, DJ Petrinski, both have been really integral to this offense. I mean, Mason Monday or Tuesday night had a fantastic play to gun a guy out at home plate that you probably nobody else in the outfield could have made. So you're just looking at a team that maybe was completely different from what people expected, but a lot better.
I know you got to run, but we'll get you out of here on this question. I saw something the other day that said that Texas has an opportunity to host a regional, you know, assuming that they finish out the season strongly. You know, what is the expectation for how this Texas team should finish out? Because, you know, they've shown us who they can be all year. They've surpassed our expectations. Is getting to a regional, you know, realistic for this team moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll get to regional. It's just hosting will be tough.
Super regional.
We're getting to a super regional. Yeah. Well, that will be the question. But you're looking at a team that's going to West Virginia this weekend. They're going to play in a cold weather climate where they've struggled. So they're going to have to at least pull two out there if they want to keep the path where they are. And then they're going to have to go to Lubbock to play Tech, who's the thing number four in the nation right now. So it's got a tough road to hoe up ahead. But, I mean, I haven't seen anything from this team to show that they're going to slow down, especially because as of late, the Saturday starter, Chase Sugart, has been really, really improving, and he was moved from the bullpen this past year. I think we talked about that last time on the podcast. But he has just looked night and day over these last three games. So I feel more comfortable with him. And then our Sunday starter, Blair Henry, has been fantastic throughout this whole entire year. So you're looking at two guys right now that are really feeling it. And if we can get that third Nolan Kingham on Friday, I think you're looking at a team that can really, really do some damage and go to a super regional and really look good this year.
Well, we'll see how the Longhorns finish the year up. They have a three-game series in Lubbock next weekend against Texas Tech. So, and then they also have a big series against TCU here in Austin to close out the year, the regular season. And then we'll see what happens in the postseason for the Longhorns. But thanks, Travis, for coming on.
I got a question real quick. Yeah. Real quick, yes. Travis. Yes, I come at you with the hard hitters, okay? Who's got the best nickname on the team?
That's a tough question. You know, I got to say DJ, because if you ever listen to his walk-up song, it's Go DJ, and not a lot of people can't match their walk-up song to their actual name.
Yeah, I
think that that's really cool.
Okay, now is it like an actual DJ, like a disc jockey?
David John is, that's his name.
Well, I'm saying, but his walk-up music.
No, it's like, yeah, I think it's disc jockey. Okay, I think that's what it stands for. It is Go DJ. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that's pretty
so it doesn't
cool.
match.
That's a good one to go out.
Yeah.
Disc jockey. Disc jockey. Not match David.
No, but two letters are the same, okay. So I guess you can go with it. All
right. All right. Thanks, Travis.
Excellent reporting, Travis.
Really put him on the spot there, dude.
That's what beat reporting is all about, people.
Moving on to softball. Texas softball has been rolling right along after a slow start to the season. Longhorns are now 28-18 on the year, 10-3 in Big 12 play. They've been picking up. They had three straight series sweeps in conference play at one point. Robert, what has gotten into Texas softball? Because that start to the year was very, very shaky, but they seem to have settled down and kind of found a groove.
Do you want me to answer this one?
Her
name is Paige Von Sprecken.
Trent, like you said, the beginning of the year was not too kind to the Longhorns, and I think a lot of that has to do with their strength of schedule. They played a lot of ranked teams to begin the season, but, you know, looking at their schedule, they took advantage of playing lesser Big 12 teams, to be completely frank. I mean, they played some teams that were at the bottom of the barrel and in the Big 12, and that's where they made their money. They won the games they were supposed to. They won on great pitching and opportunistic hitting, and that was the formula for the first nine games. It's a different story lately. They played Oklahoma State and Baylor recently, two Big 12-ranked teams who are in that top four area along with the Longhorns and Oklahoma, who they'll play this weekend, and they've run into some struggles there. I mean, they've only scored six runs in those four games they played against those teams. I mean, so the hitting has been the issue for this entire season, but I think the key to the great success at the beginning was really just the pitching and the opportunistic hitting, which they've kind of lost here as of late.
Yeah, and their past four Big 12 games, they had a series against Oklahoma State, and then they also had a single game against Baylor. They're 1-3 in those games. So, you know, you mentioned the easier Big 12 schedule. Now they're kind of getting into the meat of their Big 12 schedule, struggling just a little bit. Is that a big area of concern that you think with this Texas softball team? Are they limited as to how good they can be, do you think?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, the expectations before the season were different, I think, than normal. Coach Clark will admit that, but when they had that first kind of Big 12 run, I think a lot of players grew in confidence and thought they could win with just about anyone. The problem is that doesn't really mean that you're going to beat those better teams. I mean, they struggled mightily hitting against Baylor and Oklahoma State, like I mentioned. I think the hitting has been a problem consistently for the Longhorns for the past couple of years. So, and that really hasn't – I mean, there's been some progress a little bit here and there, but not really consistency, which is what they're missing. And they're heading to number three Oklahoma, who's one of the best teams in the entire country. And, I mean, they're going to certainly face a really tough uphill battle this weekend. I've heard the word hope being thrown around a lot about this weekend, and if they're going to play well. I mean, I don't know if that's really the confidence you see out of a team who's looking to win a Big 12 championship this season.
Yeah.
I just, to be frank, I don't know. It just seems too, like, not really optimistic to
me. Yeah. They have a lot of youth on their team. You know, a lot of their impact players are underclassmen. Do you feel like this Texas team, you know, even with, you know, a positive season that they've had, that they're still kind of like a year away?
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, offensively, I completely agree that certainly I think a year of growth and maybe even another for these freshmen will help substantially. No questions for the lineup. But they're also going to lose a lot of pitching. I mean, most of their staff is upperclassmen. They're going to lose Erica Wright. They're going to lose Paige Von Sprecken, who has been an absolute pleasure to watch this year. She's one of the best in the Big 12. She'll certainly win all conference honors at the end of the season, but they're losing a lot of talent on the pitching staff. So, but the hitting will get better and as these players grow into their own. But like I mentioned, I mean, there's still going to be questions next season. It just kind of depends what kind of unfolds over the offseason.
They've got a big series this weekend in Norman. Number three Oklahoma has been a powerhouse in the softball world for the past few years. Are you giving Texas any chance this weekend? This is you know, a potentially big twist for the Longhorns.
It wouldn't surprise me if Texas went and snagged a game in Norman. I mean, anything can happen in in a rivalry game like this. The Red River rivalry, no matter the sport or venue, is filled with emotion of all kind. Like, anything can happen in a rivalry game. That said, it would not shock me at all to see three straight games of run ruling by the Longhorns. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they packed their bags early on Sunday. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Robert wrote in his story that I think they've had seven run rule games this year for Oklahoma, which is just
in their
insane.
Big 12 schedule. Just their Big 12 schedule.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I mean, they're a great team. Like, they won the softball champion, the national championship last season. This team's still tremendously loaded with talent. So yeah. I mean, we'll see this weekend. But like I said, I think Texas would be happy to go and steal one in Norman.
Yeah. How do you see the season shaking out for this team? Regional, you know, is that the expectation?
Yeah, I think so far I was looking at projections earlier, and it looks right now, based on their strength of schedule and some teams, I mean, they got some good teams early, and they won some quality games. I mean, they picked one up against Oklahoma State and against Michigan earlier the year, two ranked teams when they played them. So, I mean, maybe I think they're going to be in a regional. They'll earn an at-large bid, but going much farther is going to be a very big uphill battle. I don't see them going that far in the NCAA tournament.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Texas finishes up. They've got, like we said, the big series against Oklahoma this weekend. Could be, you know, either a massive turning point or, you know, a setback for Texas softball, but we'll see how Connie Clark's group finishes out the season. Robert, thanks for coming on. Guys, we'll finish it up with a little NFL draft talk.
Yes.
Robert, you're more than welcome to stay for this if you want to. But
I mean,
you got to run.
I got to run.
Okay, he has to run too. No problem.
It was great to be here.
Ty, Drew.
I've been ready.
NFL draft.
I'm going
to
switch mics.
NFL. NFL draft tonight. Ty's favorite event of the year.
I don't remember the last time I watched it. I sat down and watched the draft.
Really?
Ty, for the record, is a huge football fan. He just hates the draft,
I love
apparently.
Football.
But, okay, so.
This is an event.
Football's
for
one
me.
Beat of hockey for me. A
lot of
I
talk.
I just can't watch the draft.
A lot of talk about the quarterbacks and who's going number one.
Yep.
You know, it seems like for the past 2 months, it's like 1 week, Baker Mayfield's going number one, or Josh Rosen's going number one, or Sam Darnold, or, you know, whoever. Guys, who do we think is going number one tonight, okay?
Drew, you're the expert.
Okay.
Who is getting blessed / cursed by going to the Cleveland Browns?
So here's what I've seen.
Who also have the number four pick, by the way.
Here's what I've seen out there. Reports, okay? Not by me, by other people.
Oh, by other people, indicates Baker Mayfield.
By other people
nice
indicates
aggregated news, man. I want to hear
Baker Mayfield number
you think
one
Baker's
pick.
Going number one.
I think so. So I think it was going to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh
until
Allen.
Some teams did some digging into his Twitter feed.
Yes,
and
so the Twitter thing is
to
actually
it's
holding people
it's legitimate. There's
I think
apparently
so.
Some
like
offensive tweets.
I think so.
Offensive tweets out there on Josh Allen.
It's not a good look.
Yeah,
it's a terrible look, but. At the end of the day, like with all the things these NFL owners, you know, say do behind closed doors, probably they're not going to pick
right.
a guy because of some tweets.
Well, the difference is the owners aren't doing that on their Twitter.
Yeah, some of them
well,
are.
Well, if it gets
look
you
at
out of
Richardson to the Panthers, you know,
if it keeps you going from to Cleveland, I mean,
I don't know. I'm not a Josh Allen guy anyway, and I don't think
I haven't.
Be the
yeah,
one
I haven't
pick,
been
so
big on Josh Allen.
Let's transition to that. Who do you think is the best quarterback in this draft?
Who do I think is the best?
Boy, this is about to get heated.
No more aggregated news. I want to hear what you think, Drew.
It is Lamar Jackson, hands down.
Okay, so you think Baker's going one,
yeah.
which is I think Baker's going one too
yeah,
by
yeah,
the
yeah.
reports, and you think who's going number one?
I mean, I think Baker Mayfield's the best quarterback in this draft, but
okay,
I didn't
but
think
he
was going to go number
who do you
one.
Think is going?
I don't read all the reports that
okay,
you guys
okay.
read, so I really don't know.
You
okay,
think Baker's
I just
the
wanted
best?
To. I just wanted
yes,
to see
Baker
who
Mayfield's
we're thinking. But
oh.
you think?
You think Lamar Jackson?
You think Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
I read that.
How are you going to look at me when you think Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in this draft? How are you going to look at me like that?
Because there was no one who could do the things that he's doing. In
yeah,
this draft.
Nobody could do the things boy. That Vince Young did in college. Look how that worked out for him.
Love okay.
the
hold on.
Love
the
difference,
hold on. Hold
the
on.
Difference
that is,
there.
That is an exaggeration. Vince Young went 30-17 for a coach who didn't even like him. Okay. Vince Young was a very.
Oh, yeah, he had a,
Vince Young was a good NFL quarterback there for a while.
But
he made
sometimes
some very poor
pan out.
Exactly.
It's not going to pan out for Lamar Jackson.
He made some poor off the field decisions.
Lamar Jackson's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't know this was a Lamar Jackson podcast.
Wow. Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I think he needs to take a sobriety test.
Me?
I don't even think Lamar Jackson's going to get through one season playing 16 games as a quarterback in the NFL.
I guarantee that he will.
I like Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I read the other day an anonymous...
How are you going to be worrying about Lamar Jackson when Baker Mayfield is like half of his size?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Baker.
Lamar Jackson's not that big, is he?
I know. Well, he's not, but Baker Mayfield's that much smaller. Yeah.
Well, an anonymous NFL offensive coordinator.
Baker Mayfield is Drew Brees' size.
An anonymous NFL offensive coordinator.
He's from the Austin area, too. Look, that worked out for Drew Brees.
An anonymous offensive coordinator said the other day that when Lamar Jackson throws, quote, he hopes. So he's not a fan.
You can't get by as a non-passer in the NFL.
That's the difference. See, here's the thing. The reason that he wasn't as accurate in college is because he was running a pro-style offense. He wasn't running the spread like all of these other quarterbacks were. So that means he's not getting quick, easy looks like somebody like Deshaun Watson was getting. So if you implement some of those onto your team, you'll see that his accuracy will improve.
Why are you talking about Deshaun Watson? Look at him.
Because he's great.
Yeah, he's great.
And he brings a lot of the same stuff to the table as Lamar Jackson. So I don't understand why we're saying that Lamar Jackson can't be the best quarterback in this class.
Well,
he's not going to be.
He said that, not me.
Okay.
I don't think Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in this class.
You're
just
outnumbered,
if we're
Drew.
NFL prospects.
I'm fine with that.
Look, I mean, I personally would draft Sam Darnold if I had it. If I had.
Whoa,
to
pick. God.
I just think that, look, the whole idea about the red flags.
That
and
dude
the,
throws interceptions
okay,
in his sleep.
The interceptions thing, I think, is overblown. Okay, I think you can fix that over time. Okay, you
get how?
NFL coaching. NFL
Eli
coaching.
Can't.
NFL coach. Okay, Eli's got two Super Bowl wins. Okay, I think Brett Favre, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, has thrown the most interceptions in NFL history. Okay, interceptions.
And I don't think people talk about that enough.
They don't. But he's got a ring. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Interceptions are a little bit overrated.
No, they're not.
They
no,
are. Look
bad.
At all the great.
It literally gives the other team the football.
Okay, I get that, but it's
exactly what you do not want to do.
Essentially, in most cases, it's a punt. Okay.
Okay. No.
A lot of great quarterbacks have
it's
thrown
not like
a lot
every
of
single interception is a 40-yard heave down
there
the field.
There have been a lot of great quarterbacks in this league who've won Super Bowls who've thrown a lot of picks. Okay, it's not the end all be all. I think if you can deliver the football from the pocket, that's the biggest thing, okay? And Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield are guys who I'm a little bit skeptical of that. Can they run that in a pro-style offense? They play a little bit too much off of improvisation.
Lamar Jackson
and that concerns
came
me.
Out of a pro-style offense.
I get that, but he's also a runner, and he likes to move a lot, likes to make plays,
yeah,
you know,
so
that's great.
So does Russell Wilson and
well,
Cam Newton.
There's only
Deshaun
one Russell
Watson,
Wilson.
Like,
first of all, Cam Newton's a very average NFL quarterback statistically. Russell Wilson.
He was the MVP.
That guy struggles.
Years ago. That was like 3 years ago.
That guy struggles to complete 60% of his passes every year.
Yeah, he completes like 55% of his throws or something like that. Cam Newton had like one great year, if we're being honest.
Okay,
and that was the year he went
to
the Super Bowl.
He won't do it again.
Well, that remains to be seen. But I think
that's a playoff.
There's only one Russell Wilson, though. And Cam Newton statistically is an average quarterback.
There's only one Lamar Jackson.
Look, I'm not doubting Lamar Jackson's. I think he can be good.
I think he's
if he goes to the right place. If he goes to Cleveland, he's screwed. Anybody goes to Cleveland is screwed.
Cleveland, they're screwed.
Anybody who's going to Cleveland tonight
is
screwed.
Did you say where you think he's going? We know that you think he's the best quarterback, but where do you think he's going?
So he's not going to go in the top 10, unfortunately. He'll get a look from Arizona at number 15, which I think would be a really good fit next to David Johnson. Go ahead, Trent.
You knew who had a private workout with your boy, the Patriots.
Oh, that would be real.
Belichick might see him.
Producer behind the scenes. Stats over here.
Pats had a private workout with Lamar Jackson.
That's all I'm going to say. And
for what that's worth.
As long as they don't make him a wide receiver, I think he'd be a great fit for the New England Patriots.
He's not like, you know, who's the TCU quarterback from? He's not Tyrone or Boykin. Trayvon Boykin. He's not Trayvon Boykin. On the level of where he like would have to play receiver.
Okay,
like,
but
he's got more talent at quarterback than Trayvon Boykin.
Absolutely. I think he's got more talent than Tyrod Taylor, who has been a statistically efficient quarterback on a very bad team that did not want him there.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like the NFL draft. We talk all this, man, this guy has all this and all this and all that, and then
watch
he gets
Josh
into the
Allen
league and he doesn't
one.
Have any of it.
Oh, well, wait till we get to the NBA draft time.
That's fine. You can talk about all these guys right now. Yeah. I am way more excited, and I have way more anticipation for when I actually see them on the field and see what they look like in an NFL.
Did I tell you I had an epiphany
right now
the other
in
night?
April? I don't care.
I had an epiphany the other
That's
day.
That's because the hockey playoffs are going on.
No, it's not even because the hockey playoffs are going on.
I came to a realization of why you don't like Mo Bamba.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. This is like 2 months old.
Oh, boy.
No.
I'm enjoying this.
Here we go.
And for the record, I did come around on Mo Bamba, so whatever okay. you're about to say is
you
probably
still don't
false
like
at this point.
Right? You still don't like him because he won't post up.
I don't like that
he
about
He takes
his
all
game,
these
you're
jump
right.
shots, right? And I
He
realized,
should not be shooting top of the three keys. Top of the key three, sorry.
He didn't make a lot of threes.
It's not that you hate
He didn't or did?
He did not.
Mo no. Bamba, yeah. Ty. It's just that you miss Shaq Claire.
Oh, my God. What?
That's all it is. All
right, we're going off on a tangent here.
Claire?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, but moving along real quick, Texas does have six players.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about
yeah.
that.
Oh,
let's,
yeah.
Let's talk about them.
Going off on the quarterback segment there. Okay, Texas does have.
Isn't this Alex's job?
Well, Alex is in.
Can we phone him in?
We should
get
try
Keshav
to phone
on
him.
Here.
Hello.
Texas does have six players who are legitimate NFL prospects. One could possibly go tonight. That's Connor Williams, left tackle.
He should.
Most of the projections here have him going.
That guy's the best tackle in the draft.
A lot of the projections I'm looking at right here have Connor Williams either going. Like, it's pretty much split down the middle, either first or second round. But he's pretty much the only
Whoa,
one who
really?
Has,
second
he's,
round?
He's, yeah.
I think
second.
He's going early
But it'd
first.
Be early in the second round. This is what the.
I think he's going early first. Should.
USA Today, CBS, and ESPN have him going second. But NFL.com,
I got a
Report,
prediction.
And Pro Football Focus
I got a prediction
going
for Connor
round.
Williams. Here's what's going to happen, okay?
What's that?
Buffalo
so
is
dramatic,
sitting very pretty, number 12. They have a bunch of draft picks. The Colts don't really need a quarterback. So what's going to happen?
They
Buffalo's
could use
gonna,
a left tackle.
I don't know. Andrew Luck, well, that
so,
guy never played.
So here's okay. what's going to happen. Buffalo's going to trade up to number 6, get whatever quarterback is available there. I'm going to guess it's Josh Rosen. And then Connor Williams will be in the clear to become an Indianapolis Colt.
I have a
number
question
12.
For
the
you,
chances
Drew.
Of that happening are probably very, very slim. But, you know, we'll
I'm
see if that
it,
happens.
Do you go to school or anything? Because, like, you have so much time for all these theories
Bro.
And stuff, man. I can't believe how much.
I'm struggling.
How invested you are in the
okay.
NFL draft.
Okay.
It is rough.
Pro Football Focus has Connor Williams going as early as the 15th pick to Arizona. So we'll see where Connor Williams ends
he
up.
He should go in the first round.
He should go in the first round. I think he will. Malik Jefferson.
Ooh, that's a
these,
tougher one.
These sites, I mean, these are all like USA Today, Bleacher yeah. Report, NFL, CBS, Ooh. Pro Football Focus. They're kind of a little bit split, second or third round. I mean.
He's a day two guy.
Yeah, he's definitely a day two guy. I think it was Matt Millen. I can't remember. I think he maybe said Malik could go to the fourth round. But, you know, he's kind of a. That is one to follow, where Malik goes. Deshaun Elliott, everyone's got him in the fourth round.
That's a mistake.
There's a lot of speculation that Todd Orlando's system basically made Deshaun Elliott into Deshaun Elliott. I think that's a fair critique.
Maybe.
He had a lot of
these
Dylan
guys.
He was
still
like number two in the nation.
He had a lot of Dylan Haynes interceptions. Let me look.
He did have
back,
a lot of Dylan Haynes
wait
interceptions.
Wait for somebody to make a bad throw, and I'll catch it 30 yards
right
behind
place at the right time.
You still got to make the interception.
No, I agree. I agree. You can't drop it. But, you know, if you're there at the right time and if you're in the right system that puts you in the right spots. Look, I think a lot of these guys owe Todd Orlando a big thank you note. Okay. Holton Hill.
Look at all these
Sean Elliott,
guys.
Malik
Shoot.
Jefferson.
Hey, we owe Todd Orlando a thank you note.
Texas fans owe him a big thank you note. But these guys do owe Todd Orlando a thank you note. I don't think Holton Hill, Deshaun Elliott, and Malik Jefferson are, you know, projected as high as they might be on here. If not for Todd Orlando. I don't think Vance Bedford's system is making this.
Holton Hill
guys.
Did a lot for himself before he got himself suspended. But,
he did.
You know, he was locking guys down like crazy. That was fun to watch.
Holton Hill projected mostly here in the fifth round is what I'm seeing. Puna Ford, who did not get invited to the NFL Combine. Another guy who people, you know, like a lot, you know, plays hard, undersized a little bit. Kind of all over the place here. Fifth round, sixth round. He could be going later, but again, you know, he's not very tall. Michael Dixon, our guy, who we had on the podcast.
There's a guy that owes nobody a thank you.
Friend of the pod.
He's a friend of the Texan Overtime podcast. We had him on just a couple weeks ago. Most of the sites here are saying fourth round, so we'll see how badly teams need a punter.
You know, it's going to be interesting with him because punters can go like anywhere in the draft. You saw a couple years ago, Tampa Bay took Robert Aguayo in the second round. He's a kicker.
Kicker, yeah.
And he did not pan out.
Yeah.
He sucks.
One of the best kickers in college football history, statistically, and he's awful.
Kicking's a mental game.
It is.
He didn't have it.
It is. So, yeah, I think it should be fascinating to see where these Texas guys land. I'm particularly interested to see where Malik Jefferson lands.
I feel like
up.
We're leaving a guy off.
What?
Chris Warren. Is Chris Warren getting drafted?
Yeah, Chris Warren III is also technically on that list. He would be the seventh guy, but, you know, he's technically left Texas. So.
Oh.
But, yeah, Chris Warren, kind of in middle-of-the-pack running back.
Yeah.
He's no Saquon Barkley by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, a really unfortunate season last year because he had a chance to, you know, really put himself on these draft lists.
Yeah,
but
he did.
But Texas can't run the football, so.
It wasn't all his fault.
And, you know, you had the spring game this past Saturday, just, you know, wrapping up here. Guys, y'all watched the spring game.
I did not.
You did not watch spring game?
But y'all were there, so
we were there watching the spring game.
Let me ask
game.
Questions.
Go ahead.
Ty, okay, yeah, ask his questions.
All right.
Very quickly.
Who won the spring game?
Texas. Texas
Sam
won.
Ellinger's
Texas
team
this,
did.
Texas won the spring game.
Sam Ellinger. Okay, so did they?
The white team won
the
spring game, technically.
All right. Who won the quarterback battle?
Well, it's hard to judge.
Okay.
But
people say Ellinger, I
the
guess.
Team,
I don't know.
The team
they looked
that Ellinger starting for won.
Oh.
If that
the team,
holds
what?
Any weight to you.
You said that two times now. Are you a Sam
I'm trying
Elling-
to draw a reaction
Sam Ellinger fan, perhaps?
I think the only thing that Ty dislikes more than the NFL draft is Sam Ellinger.
Oh man, don't put me on the spot like this guy's a classmate.
I'm
not a classmate.
I don't think
we're the same school here.
I don't think we're getting Sam Ellinger on our podcast anytime soon.
Yeah, why not? You just burned a bridge before it was even built.
Well, you have a week and a half left here, so we may be maybe able to get him on next time or next.
Everybody knows I'm a Shane Buechele guy.
Next
though,
fall.
So.
Okay, yeah. We'll wrap it up there. That was a lot of content today, so I hope you guys enjoyed that, and hope you guys enjoyed our banter about the quarterbacks being taken tonight in the NFL draft. But that's all we have for today. Special thanks to JT Lindsay, as always,
JT.
And the podcast department for producing this. Make sure to download the Texan Overtime podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Follow the Daily Texan and Texan Sports on Twitter. And, of course, as always, check out DailyTexanOnline.com. Read up on all of our great UT sports coverage up there. For Ty, Drew, and Alex, who is in Arlington, I'm Trent. Enjoy the draft tonight. Enjoy the hockey playoffs.
Enjoy
the basketball
draft.
Playoffs.
No, you should have just ended. Enjoy the draft.
Okay.
Cut it off.
Okay. We'll probably be on one more episode
Not
next
even
week.
The NBA.